Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Shri Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai 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 Ram Shri Ram Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram Patita Pavana Sita Ram Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram Patita Pavana Sita Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram 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 Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram Patita Pavana Sita Ram Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram Patita Pavana Sita Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai 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 Ram Jaya Sita Ram, Jaya Lakshman Hanuman 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 Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram 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 Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Hari Ram. Nithai Kar Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Hari Ram. Lakshman Hanuman Ji Ki Jai. So I there were many speakers, and I'm sure you heard so many various pastimes and so many interesting philosophical points. I'll speak on something. The process of devotional service, as given by Srila Rupa Goswami, explains that there are different stages that one traverses ultimately to the goal of bhakti. The goal of devotional service is prema pumartha mahan, to develop love for Krishna, to love for God. Now, Rupa Goswami explains that love of God is the ninth stage, and therefore it's preceded by eight other stages. Now, the first stage is faith, that one becomes curious. One develops some interest in spiritual life. Therefore, one takes association of saintly persons or spiritual-minded persons. And through that association, one starts to practice the process of devotional service. As one practices devotional service, one becomes, qualified to enter into a more serious type of devotional service. That is, one starts to meet and take shelter of Krishna's representative, the bona fide spiritual master. The bona fide spiritual master engages one through the process of teaching the philosophical principles of the relationship between the living entity and the Supreme Personality of God, and execution of the process of bhakti, which is meant to awaken one's dormant love of God. This is the third stage, it's called bhajana kriya. The next stage is called anartha nivritti, that through the execution of devotional service under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, one starts to free oneself from what is called unwanted desires or unwanted material tendencies. And gradually through that process, one becomes steady in devotional service. So this process of anartha nivritti is removing those things which are contrary to the execution of devotional service. And these things are called anarthas. Artha means auspicious or something that is desirable. And ana means something undesirable or inauspicious. Before one can get to the stage of steadiness, one has to remove at least 75% of the anarthas. There are 16 major anarthas which are mentioned in the scriptures. Anarthas have come by way of philosophical misconceptions, anarthas that come by way of pious activities, anarthas that come by way of sinful activities, and anarthas that come by way of offenses. Four categories of four. So before one can remain or become, we might say, become steady in devotional service, one has to remove at least 75% of the anarthas. Now, the anarthas cause what is called the six enemies. By having anarthas, these enemies are there. And what are the enemies? This is mentioned by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Kama, krodha, lobha, mohan, madda, and matsarya. Are there? Lust, anger, greed, illusion, pride, and envy. These six enemies cause what is called the six whips. Whips are birth and death, hunger and thirst, lamentation, and illusion. Yeah. And these are the things that keep us in material consciousness. The Lord comes, yada yada hi dharmasya deglanir bhavati bharatam, abhutanam adharmasya tadatmaham srujamiham, pravitranayam sarunam vinasanayasya duskritam, dharma samstapanartayam, sambhavami yuge yuge. He comes to destroy the miscreants, those who are evil, irreligious, or actively working against the principles of devotion, such as Ravana. And the Lord comes to reestablish religious principles. He put Vibhishan on the throne and again established what is called Ram Raj, or what is called proper religious rulings. And of course, we've heard so many pastimes of the Lord with his devotees. He gives pleasure to his devotees by his appearance. His pleasure causes the devotees become more serious in their devotion towards him and actually awaken within them their love for him. The fall of two very powerful personalities from the spiritual world was arranged by the Lord in order for the Lord to act his pastimes. These personalities were called Vajaya and Vijaya. And we know from the Srimad Bhagavatam how they were forced to take three births as demons. The first set of births was Hiranyaksha and Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, not Hiranyagarbha, Hiranyakashipu. The second was Ravana and Kumbhakarna. And the third was Dantravarga and Shishupal. Now, these six demons represent the six anarthas. Each of the demons represents a particular anartha that is outstanding. Who was Hiranyaksha? What was his anartha? Greed. He was so greedy that he could not be satisfied with the gold that he had taken from the earth. He took so much gold out of the earth that the earth fell from its orbit into the Garbhodak ocean. Now we know, of course, Lord Varaha Dev came to pick the ocean and kill the demon. He was the demon of greed. Who was Hiranyakashipu? What was his outstanding anartha? Who knows? Ladies? Any of the ladies know? What was his outstanding? I mean, all these demons have all the bad qualities. But one quality is outstanding in each one of them. What was his? Pride. He was so proud that he was thinking that there's nobody greater than me. He had so many benedictions. He had so many boons. He had so much opulence. He had what we say, acquired the entire universe, practically. He was sitting on the throne of Indra, and practically all the demigods except Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma and Narada Muni were his servants. They were serving him in a fearful way, but still, he had subjugated all these powerful devas. He was proud. And the Lord came as Nrisimhadev to destroy his pride. Destroy him also, and the pride. So the next two demons are the ones we're talking about today. Well, Ravana and Kumbhakarna, which two did they represent? Lust. Ravana was lust, and Kumbhakarna was illusion. He was so much in illusion. I think you just mentioned, we heard the pastimes of Kumbhakarna. Interesting story. How Ravana and Kumbhakarna, and they performed such great austerities, tremendous austerities, and they approached Lord Brahma for material boons from those austerities. Because if you perform austerities, you become powerful. In spiritual life, if you perform the austerities recommended in the scriptures, then you become very powerful. What is the greatest austerity in this age? Chanting Hare Krishna. But what is the most greatest individual austerity in this age? Celibacy. Celibacy is the greatest of all austerities. Simply by becoming celibate, even if you're not a devotee, you can reach Brahmaloka. How powerful that austerity is. Ravana didn't perform that austerity. So the demons perform so many austerities. Why? To get material power. So they granted. Ravana came before Lord Brahma. Brahma gave him so many, what we say, benedictions, to be free from being killed by so many. But then when it came to the category of human beings, being of the Rakshasas are a race above the human beings. Within the planetary systems of alignment of different planets, above the Earth is the planets of the Rakshasas. They're in the middle planets also, but higher than the Earth planets. And they're a very powerful race. So when he was accepting benedictions, he felt insulted to accept a benediction to not be killed by a human being. So he refused that benediction, thinking there's no need for such things. And that was his mistake, huh? So he received all these benedictions not to be killed. Kumbhakarna, oh, what a powerful, monstrous demon he was. Ooh, he was so gigantic. The demigods were totally fearful of him, and now he had performed more austerities. He was coming in front of Lord Brahma asking for further benedictions. So the devas came to Brahma and they said, Brahma, you can't give that personality any more power. He's already so powerful. He'll destroy all our planets. So Brahma was concerned because the devas are what we say inclined to or obligated to give benedictions because people perform material austerities. So he had to do his service. He had to give out a benediction. So he called his wife. Sometimes when you're in trouble, you call your wife for help, right? That's very good. That's the reason why you get married. Because you have two heads to think instead of one, right? So his wife, he said to her, we have a problem here. The demon's going to ask for benediction. So I need your help. When he speaks his benediction, you appear on his tongue and you say what should be said. So, Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Chiki, Jai. Varnitai ki jai si si Gopalnachi ki jai. And he came before Brahma and Brahma said, what do you want? He said, I want, and then Saraswati came in to sleep. Tatastu. So be it, you have it. He said, what did I say? He got bewildered. Ravana jumped in and said, you can't do that. You can't give him that benediction to asleep all the time. I already gave the blessing. It's too late. Once a benediction is given, once a curse is given, it can be modified, but it can't be withdrawn. So, therefore, Rama said, all right. We will give him a boon that he can sleep all year and wake up one day, and that day he can eat as much as he can eat. But he has to sleep 364 days a year. Nice benediction, huh? Sounds pretty good. So he was the demon of illusion, thinking that by eating and sleeping, in other words, bodily activities will bring happiness. But what was Ravana? Ravana was what we really want to talk about today. Everyone's talking about Ram, but I like to talk about Ravana. Because I'm one of Ravana's followers. Anyway. Ravana, he was a Brahmin. His father was Rava, one of the great Brahmanas. His mother was a demon. That's why he became he had demoniac tendencies. It says that the son takes on the qualities of the mother, and the daughter takes on the qualities of the father, generally. Not absolute. These are the general tendency. But that's what it's mentioned in the scriptures. So he had the qualities of his mother, which was demoniac. But he also had great intelligence coming from his father, being a great Brahmin. He knew the scriptures well. He was also quite attractive physically. He had performed so many austerities. He had amassed great amounts of wealth. He had such great followers, loyal followers, dedicated followers, a great kingdom. He had everything. But what didn't he have? Peace of mind. This is a very instructive point, that although this demon was so powerful and so successful, his wife, he had many wives actually. Who was his queen, chief queen? What was her name? Who knows? Mandodari. She is celebrated along with Lakshmi, Sita, and others as being chaste and faithful. She's glorified in the scriptures as being one of the most qualified of all ladies. Although she was the wife of Ravana, she was so faithful, so chaste, so dedicated to serving her husband in such an exemplary way. So we can think, what didn't Ravana have? He had everything. But because he was afflicted by that, what is called the demon of lust, Srimad Bhagavatam describes lust as a blazing fire. Arjuna asked Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, what causes a person to act against his own best interests, even though he knows it's wrong? Think about this. What causes a person, when you know something is wrong, and you know by doing that activity, there'll be a reaction that is not good, but still you do it? We might use the example of a person who is a criminal or thinking of committing a crime, knowing that if I get caught, I'll be punished, I'll be put in jail, my life will be ruined. But still, they go ahead and do it. So what is that feature that causes a person? Krishna answered in the next verse, Kama Esha, Krodha Esha, Rajaguna Sambhubhava, Mahashano, Mahapapam, Videha Vihavarinam. He said, it is lust, and lust only, which comes in contact with the material modes of nature, which is later transformed into anger or wrath, which is the all-devouring, sinful enemy of this world. Krishna explains the enemy. And then Krishna says where the enemy sits. The enemy sits in three places. In the mind, in the intelligence, and in the senses. And he says this lust covers the soul, the living entity, in three ways. As smoke covers fire, as the dust covers a mirror, and as the embryo covers the womb. There are different degrees of lust as it covers the pure soul. So, and then Krishna goes on to explain how to destroy this lust. He calls it the greatest enemy of self-realization. It destroys knowledge and self-realization. He says, by regulating the senses and by engaging in the process of devotional service, one can gradually and very systematically eliminate this, what we say, very insidious and destructive enemy in the form of lust. And so we learn from this pastime of Ram's appearance in the world just how powerful this feature of lust is. Ravana had everything, but still he was not satisfied. The more one tries to satisfy the senses, the more the senses become unsatisfied. That's interesting. People think that by catering to the demands of the mind and senses, one can pacify or become peaceful. But the scriptures give a little example. It's just like if there's a fire and you take a piece of wood, a big piece, and you throw it on the fire goes down because of the wood being on top of the fire. But you wait some time, and then the wood catches fire, and the fire blazes even more than before. So these the senses and mind can never be satisfied through sense objects. Ravana, what did... He was so proud of his wealth, and he was so eager to try to enjoy more and more sense gratification. So much so that he stole the wife of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After he stole Sita, his advisors, his ministers were telling him, you know, this Rama, he's quite powerful. And there was a famous place in Nasik, it's called Panchavali. It's a place where Ram fought with three of the most powerful generals. Was it Kara, Dushasha, and what was he, Trisha? Three very powerful demons who were generals who were leading 14,000 Rakshasas against Ram and Lakshman. And single-handedly, Ram killed the whole 14,000 Rakshasas within an hour's time. He didn't even need the help of Lakshman. He told Lakshman, you guard Sita. And Sita was put in a very safe place and guarded by Lakshman. And Ram took care of that 14,000 Rakshasas by himself. One got away, Alambana. He got away to give the report. And so Ravana had gotten so many reports how he killed Maricha and Subahu, the whole Rakshasa army, had disfigured his sister Suparnika. He was devastating Ravana's kingdom. And they said to Ravana, during the battle now, you have everything. You got so many women. You have the best of all ladies. Just give Sita back. His own advisors were telling him, give Sita back. But he couldn't hear. They said there's three types of leaders. There's one type of leader who takes advice. When he needs to make a decision, he goes to his ministers or followers and asks for their advice. And whatever advice he gives, they give, he takes. There's another type of leader who goes to his ministers and for advice just to hear what they say, but he already has made his decision. He does it as a formality. And then there's the third kind who never takes advice from anybody. Ravana was the second kind. Although he was getting advice, and he asked for advice, if he didn't like the advice, he wouldn't take it. He wouldn't take it. So they were giving him all kinds of, give Sita back, you have so much. This Ram, he is powerful. He's just one of his soldiers alone. Hanuman, he came into the city and probably decimated the whole city. Did you hear that past time? Did they speak about Hanuman coming into the city? We can speak about that. How Hanuman arrived in the middle of the night in the Lanka, just looking for Sita. And he came into the city. And he was looking around. First he was stopped by the personality of Lanka in the form of a Rakshasi. Well, she took the form of a cat. And she said, hey monkey, where are you going? You can't come in. This is the abode. This is the kingdom of Ravana. No one's allowed here. So Hanuman was so dedicated to his service that he just pushed her aside. And she was defeated. after she was defeated, she realized that there was a prophecy that anyone who comes and defeats me, soon the end of the city of Lanka will be there. So she allowed him to enter. Of course, he was already entering. And he was looking around, looking everywhere for Sita. It was in the middle of the night. There was only a few guards awake. Everyone was sleeping. Ravana was sleeping. Ravana was sleeping. He was searching. Where's Ravana? Where's Sita? He was looking everywhere, 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 looking into the palaces, into the houses, everywhere. Finally, he looked into one place. He saw this big monster laying among so many ladies, drunk and sleeping. He was thinking, which one is Sita? But he couldn't discern from what he had saw. Finally, he went to the Ashoka Grove and found Sita there. And of course, when Sita saw him, she thought he was Ravana. She said, "Who are you?" She said, "I'm a messenger of Ram. He's come." She said, "Stay away from me, monkey. You are Ravana in disguise." Yeah, she thought he was Ravana in disguise. He said, no, actually I'm coming. Ram knows you. He doesn't know where you are. He sent me to find you. Now I found you. He's worried about you." She thought he forgot about him. But in order to convince her that he was actually a messenger, an envoy of Ram, he presented her with a ring that was Ram's ring. Ram gave him the ring to show to Sita. And she was so happy. He said, "Jump on my back, we'll go." She said, "I can't. I can't touch another man. I'm so dedicated." So Hanuman accepted that. So he decided to do a little. He was going to go back and tell Ram that he had found Sita. But he decided, because monkeys, they like some action, you know. Monkeys, they like to have some mischief. So he decided, he grabbed this iron bar and he started smashing everything in the city. He was smashing houses and smashing the Ashoka Grove and just making terror and tearing up Lanka. Finally, it woke up Ravana and some of his soldiers. And Ravana sent some of his soldiers to find out what was wrong. They explained who was out there. He said, "Capture him, bring him here." They tried. Hanuman was so powerful. He was just annihilating all these Rakshasas. And some of his leading generals were going out there to capture Hanuman. Couldn't do anything. Finally, he sent his brother Indrajit. Indrajit was powerful. He got the name Indrajit, one who actually defeated Indra. So he saw this monkey causing mischief. So he took out his very powerful arrow, a snake arrow. He shot it at Hanuman and it tied him up. So they tied up Hanuman. They brought him to Ravana. Ravana said, "Kill him." Bibhishan said, "No. He is an envoy, a messenger of the enemy. We can punish him, but it is against the principles to kill him." So they said, "What can we do?" So Ravana said, "Well, actually," Indrajit said, "actually, the monkey, his tail is his prized possession. So let's set his tail on fire." So Hanuman had so many benedictions, and one of the benedictions was he couldn't be burnt by fire. At the same time, Sita was praying for Hanuman's success. So they lit his tail on fire, but although his tail was on fire, it was cool. He was feeling the cooling effects rather than heat. And then he just jumped up, and he just burst through the chains and just started to jump and run and ransack the whole city. He was going from house to house. His tail was touching each of the buildings, and the buildings were catching on fire. It was causing such havoc in the city, and the Rakshasas were, some of them were waking up, others didn't know what to do. And then Hanuman, after doing a little destruction, he said, "You think this is something? Wait till Ram comes. This is nothing. You're just getting a little," what we say, before you take the meal, they give you an appetizer, you know, just to make
to give you, to stimulate your appetite so you have a nice meal. So this was a little appetizer. That's all. And then he left. So Ravana, he saw the power of many of the Lord's entourage, such as Hanuman. And he still, his advice from his general, he could not accept to give Sita back. This is the power of lust. Lust simply destroys one's good intelligence. When lust covers the living entity, one cannot think clearly. Just like sometimes people mistakenly calculate that lust means attraction, illicit attraction for the opposite sex. That is a big feature of the principle of lust, no doubt. But what lust really means is to desire to enjoy one's senses unlimitedly in a materialistic way. That is actually lust. So some people are not so sexually inclined, but they're very lusty. What is it? They like material things. They want more money. They want more material possessions. They want more material sense gratification. This is also lust. But we know the feature of lust, really, its main target is the opposite sex. Ravana had everything. We can learn from the demons what not to do. The demons teach us things also. He had everything that anyone could possibly desire materially. But except one thing. He didn't have peace of mind. Because peace of mind never comes through material sense gratification. So despite the warnings, despite what had happened in the previously, he couldn't hear any good advice. Who else was like that in the scriptures? Was given good advice and realized it was good advice, but says, Dhritarashtra, very good. Dhritarashtra. He was so attached to his sons, knowing his sons were nefarious and very much self-interested. And they were against religious principles. And he saw, you know, what had happened. But still, he was so attached to his sons, knowing that they were wrong. He said, what can I do? So, this is the feature of lust. Lust overshadows one's good intelligence. And therefore, one acts in the wrong way. Sometimes we hear, sometimes our devotees engage in devotional service will do something to destroy devotional service. That is simply silly or stupid. I remember this happened about a year ago, one of our devotees in Chicago. Nice young man, bhakta, I wasn't initiated. Seriously trying to practice devotional service. He went to do his email one day, and somehow, of course I don't know exactly how, but somehow he found himself looking at something he shouldn't have been looking at on the website, and his mind became attracted. And then he realized he was being attracted, and he realized he was doing something wrong. But he couldn't stop. Lust. And then eventually he left Krishna consciousness. Came back after some time, but he was gone for a long period of time. So this is the nature of, you know, material energy. That still, even at the sacrifice of the most valuable thing, what is the most valuable thing? The opportunity to engage in devotional service. Therefore, a devotee is very much careful not to fall into these traps given by the material energy. Ravana, he saw his generals being destroyed. And he was still thinking, I'll be victorious. Kumbhakarna was killed by Ram. When his brother got killed, he was devastated, but he still continued to fight. Such foolishness. Now, we'll go to the actual scene of the elimination of Ravana. It's mentioned here in Srimad Bhagavatam. This, when the fight scene is actually really, really amazing. When actually Ravana came out to fight with Ram, Ravana was fighting with Ram, and the fight was quite exciting. Most of the other fighters stopped fighting themselves simply to watch this fight. Before Ram actually killed him, he rebuked him. He said, Lord Ramachandra said to Ravana, you are the most abominable of the man-eaters. Indeed, you are like their stool. You resemble a dog. For as a dog steals edibles from the kitchen in the absence of the householder, in my absence you kidnap my wife Sita Devi. Therefore, as Yamaraj punishes sinful men, I shall also punish you. You are most abominable, sinful, and shameless. Today, therefore, I, whose attempt never fails, shall punish you. After thus rebuking Ravana, Lord Ramachandra fixed an arrow to his bow. What was that arrow? Who knows that arrow? Where did Ram get this particular arrow? From Agastya Muni. It was a very special and powerful arrow. It was what we say guided by mantras. It was very powerful. He fixed that arrow to his bow. When he fixed that arrow to his bow and pulled back the bow, the entire universe shook. And everyone practically held their breath. He aimed at Ravana and released the arrow, which pierced Ravana's heart like a thunderbolt. Upon seeing this, Ravana's followers raised a tumultuous sound, crying, alas, alas, what has happened? What has happened? As Ravana, vomiting blood from his 10 mouths, fell from his airplane, just as a pious man falls to earth from the heavenly planets when the results of his pious activities are exhausted. That arrow went through Ravana, came out the other side, went into the earth, came out the other side of the earth, came back all around the earth, and then went back into the quiver of Ram. So people say, well, God is powerful. Here's an example. Here's an example of his power. So Ravana was killed. And it was a shame. It was sad because, of course, he was destined to be killed. But he was simply for this, what we say, greedy mentality of trying to enjoy the property of the Lord. Ravana was thinking, I'll get good fortune. But what did he get? He got misfortune. This is the way of the world. People want to enjoy sense gratification, thinking that sense gratification will bring happiness, satisfaction, peace of mind, success. What it does, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Yehi samspar saja bhoga. Dukkha yone evate avanta vanta kunte anatesu ramate buddha. That only one who is actually unintelligent and foolish will accept sense gratification as a source of happiness. Sense gratification leads to suffering. Not maybe, inevitably. That is the nature of anything in this world. Whatever one tries to enjoy, separate from God, one has to suffer that much more. Srila Prabhupada would say, those young men and young women, sometimes in Western countries, Prabhupada's talking most about Western countries. Of course, now it's happening here in India more and more. So much engaged in illicit sexual activities in their youth. He said, what happens when you get older? You suffer tremendously. The more you enjoy sex life when you're young, the more you suffer when you're old. Your body becomes so much afflicted with diseases and all kinds of sufferings. So the toll, if you really measure or compare material happiness to material suffering, there's no comparison. There's no comparison. There's unlimited amounts of material suffering. But what is material happiness? Just a little flickering of a momentary satisfaction of the senses, and it's gone. Just Radhana Swami gave a little example in one of his classes, like trying to show the comparison between material pain and pleasure. He said, how much can the little toe on your foot, how much pleasure can that give you? But if somebody hits it with a hammer, or somebody, you know, smashes it, how much pain can you get from that little toe? Unlimited, right? I remember that happened to me one time. I was picking up something and I dropped it right on my small toe. Oh, and it broke it. So I remembered Maharaj's class right after that. Because that happened after I had heard that. So this body is a source of suffering. Therefore, the body can only be beneficial when it's used in the service of the Lord. So therefore, sense gratification in the form of satisfying lusty desires is like trying to put out a fire by putting fuel on the fire. Prabhupada uses an example. Sometimes it's so difficult to give up sense gratification that the pain that comes when one restricts the mind and senses from the objects of the senses sometimes seems to be unbearable. But Prabhupada uses the example of a lion. A lion is in a cage, and the lion is hungry. So the lion gets food once a day. The zookeepers take care of the lion by feeding it just once a day. So if they forget to feed it, then that lion becomes very ferocious and starts to growl. Now if they forget to feed it the second day, imagine how much more he's going to be ferocious. He's going to growl even louder. And then the third day, oh my God, he's just roaring. I don't want to roar, so anyway, you heard enough of that. Anyway, so, but if they continue not to feed it, then what happens? He just becomes weak. And he just lays down, finished. No more roar. It's about the best he can do after 3 days of not. So. This is the nature of, you know, lust. If when you stop it, it becomes like worse. And then if you keep stopping it, it becomes worse. And then worse. But then you'd continue. And then what happens? It goes away. Prabhupada said, sense gratification in the form of sex life is like an itch. Scratch, just like you get a mosquito bite. Oh no, not one of these guys again. You're scratching, and it just keeps itching. So if you stop scratching, it's painful, right? You're thinking, the hand wants to go. No, don't want to scratch it, right? You know, if you scratch it, it gets worse. But if after a while, if you stop scratching it, it goes away. So similarly, that's the nature of how to temper it, or to cool down these lusty desires, is just say no. That's all, just say no. And then, of course, by engaging in devotional service, we replace that lower taste with a higher taste. Visaya vinivartante niharasya dehinam raso varjam raso pyasyat param drisva nivartante. Krishna consciousness is the higher taste. Krishna consciousness is the higher taste. So, Ravana represented the demon of lust, and Ram shot the arrow into the heart, because lust sits within the mind, the senses, the heart. The heart is the seat of all material desires. So we pray that Ram just pulls back his and shoots an arrow into our heart and destroys these Ravanas that run around. Some of us have big Ravanas, some of us has little Ravanas, but Ravana is there to some degree. By chanting the holy names of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. You can drive out these little Ravanas that are running around in our minds and hearts. Always take shelter of the Lord. And that is the reason why the Lord comes, to give us the opportunity to take shelter. Take shelter of His holy name, take shelter of His transcendental pastimes. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Maharaj mentions that two things are very powerful in the process of devotional service: Harikatha and Harikirtan. Each one supports the other. The more we hear and chant the glories of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the more we develop a taste to hear the pastimes of the Lord. That's why the Lord comes in His various incarnations, to perform these various leelas, so we can hear about the Lord. Hanuman, he's hearing these pastimes over and over and over again. And each time he's experiencing loving transcendental emotions. Anything material you hear, you may hear it once, or even twice, thrice, it becomes old and hackneyed. Anything, the nature of anything material is when you come in contact with it initially, it seems nice. But as you continue, it loses its initial taste. But spiritually, maybe at the beginning, the process of devotional service is what we say awkward or difficult. But that is just due to our conditioned nature. But if we continue to practice and hear and chant the glories of the Lord, gradually the sweet taste of hearing the pastimes of the Lord, the hearing the activities of the Lord, to hear the holy name of the Lord, becomes more and more sweeter. This is the essence of bhakti, to glorify the Lord and to hear about the glories of the Lord. You read the scriptures. What are the great sages and saints doing? Constantly glorifying the Lord, constantly hearing about the glories of the Lord. So this is the elixir, this is the remedy, this is the medicine that destroys the ravanas in the heart. We don't have to have Ram come and shoot his arrow. His arrow is actually the holy name. His arrow is actually his mercy coming in the form of his wonderful transcendental pastimes. So today is a very holy day. We honor the Lord in his various incarnations. Sri Ram is the most elevated of all the, what we say, incarnations of Krishna. Out of all the Vaikuntha planets, Ram's planet exists within the topmost realm of the Vaikuntha realm. And we celebrate this appearance day by hearing the glories, by chanting, by taking nice Krishna prasadam offered to the Supreme Personality of God, associating with devotees. This is life. This is actually what people do in the spiritual world. In the material world, people are looking for happiness, but they don't know how to find happiness. They think what they accept as happiness is misery, and what they see as misery is actually happiness, as was explained by Basu Ghosh, that in this age people will take religion to be irreligion and irreligion to be religion. So what is the number one religion in India? Who knows? It starts with one word. Huh? No, in India, not just here. What's the number one religion in India? Cricket, yes. Cricket's the number one religion in India. You get the biggest Mahotsava when you have the cricket matches, right? And you don't even have to advertise. It just, you have crowds, millions of people. And people actually, enter into the fire of material suffering when the team loses, So all the patterns are there. So it's a sad affair. Material life is actually quite sad when you look at it. It's pathetic. It has nothing to do with the soul. The soul's happiness is to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. So renunciation of sense gratification actually is renunciation of suffering. That's all. And to accept the glories of the Lord, to hear and chant, it awakens that eternal happiness that everyone is looking for, but in the right way, in the real way. So these wonderful pastimes. Who's supposed to speak next? Oh, go. I was looking for you. He's hiding. He's very humble. Okay, so I have gone a few moments over time, so I won't take any more time. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ji Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Shri Shri Ram Naomi Ki, Gaura Vimanandi Bo. Hare Krishna.